Your first boyfriend. I mean, I had my whole life planned out. I mean, seriously.
Him introducing me to his family. Mm-hmm. We had already moved in together.
But yeah, I think that can be a thing when meeting the family.
Yes.
It was intimidating.
Who?
AJ.
Oh, well. Welcome to another episode of Message from Mom, where we are busting down the myth that mothers-in-law don't get along with their daughters-in-law. And I'm joined by my lovely co-host, my brilliant daughters-in-law. I have Kelly to my left.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I am married to Beth's oldest son, Alex.
And Chelsea to my right.
Hi, I'm Chelsea. I'm married to Beth's middle son, Andrew.
And today we are actually talking, it's a very interesting topic. So it's called Introducing a Significant Other to the Family. But before we get into today's episode, let's raise a glass and toast, because you don't necessarily need to be a blood relative to love your relative. So cheers, ladies.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And cheers for another episode. So,
awkward pause.
Yeah, awkward pause. Awkward pause. Well, this could be kind of an awkward social situation, because it's talking about introducing a significant other to the family. I'm not sure if we picked this topic because I'm back out in the dating world and I perhaps might have a significant other to introduce to you at some point. But it really, honestly, there's so many things that we could really talk about, because it could just be our personal experiences, like when AJ introduced you to the family, when Andrew did, and vice versa, when you introduced them to your family. But I thought I'd actually kick it off with just how sensitive this topic really can be, because if you are a young mom or a young father, divorced, widowed, whatever it is, and you have young children, it brings on a whole different perspective than when you're an adult.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. Yeah.
So what do you think about that? So when do you think it would be appropriate, when you have, say, like a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old? And actually, this could even be like for grandchildren.
Right.
Also, because I always like to protect children's environments and their thoughts, because that could be challenging to have somebody in your life for a while and then not in your life again. So, and a little bit confusing. So when do you think would be, in that instance, what do you think?
Well, I mean, speaking from, I guess, my personal experience, because I come from a divorced family. Mm-hmm. So my parents got divorced when I was in 7th grade, I believe. And I know that my mom went on dates. I mean, I don't really remember in detail, you know what I mean? But I do know that I think she was dating, but I don't think she ever introduced anyone to me.
Yeah.
There was a long period of her time where I don't think she was dating. But I'm trying to think. I think there was one boyfriend that she did date for quite a while, like maybe I would say like a year. And I would say maybe she introduced him to me maybe around like the 5 or 6 month mark.
Okay.
So it was kind of, and I was older, like I wasn't, you know,
were you in high school?
I was probably in 8th or 9th grade at the time, maybe like 9th grade, because it had been a couple years since they had gotten divorced. Mm-hmm. And then after that, even as I got older, I don't think she wasn't really dating that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it took like 5 or 6 months before she actually, which I think maybe is kind of common. I think I agree with you that, you know, you want to wait a little bit before.
Yes. I think you would want to, especially if your children are very, very young. At least you were.
I was older.
You're a little bit older. Yeah. So I would still be cautious about that too. But when you're at the 5-month, 6-month range dating somebody, it looks like it's going to turn into at least a longer term relationship than, you know, two, 3 months, I think, is definitely too soon
to
bring anybody into the picture, especially with even younger children. But Kelly, what are your thoughts?
Well, I, like Chelsea, come from a divorced family, and I was so young when they divorced. I was 7 that I really don't remember when they introduced us to their eventual significant others. But I do remember my dad, when he introduced us to the woman that would soon be our stepmom, she It might have been like a year after my parents' divorce. I don't really remember. But so there was me and my sister, and then she had three kids.
Oh, okay.
So it was almost like a Brady Bunch kind of situation. So, you know, and that really cushioned the blow of meeting a parent significant other because they had kids. Mm-hmm. So then we kind of got to like hang out and meet and bond with the kids versus it just being like a step parent and you kind of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't hurt that they took us to a theme park for our first meeting.
Was it?
Oh yeah.
A little bribery is involved.
Yeah. So we had a great day.
Well, I do remember the one boyfriend that my mom did eventually introduce me to when I was in, I guess maybe I was in 10th grade. It must have been 10th grade because I think I was driving and there was, he did like race car driving. Mm-hmm. And so some of my driving lessons I actually did with him, which is kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I remember, I mean, I liked him a lot. And I do remember being kind of bummed when I think that they ended things because I was like, oh, I liked him, you know, but you know, you grow up and I mean, you realize why it ended and
Right. My mom dated a guy when I was in high school and they're still very good friends to this day. And we always joke with her that they should have gotten married because he was our favorite of all the guys that she dated and married and divorced and married and divorced. Yeah. He was the one that we liked the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's always one that you like the
best. So it's always, you know, and when you're old enough to realize what heartbreak looks like, or feels like, or, you know, you have a crush and whatever. So you're in high school and you kind of get what those feelings are like to watch your parents go through. That is kind of a funny and weird
sort of thing. Exactly.
Yeah, I think so. I thought so anyway.
Because when you do introduce that significant other to your family, they can truly bond with your family. And I'm just taking it back to when I was in high school and the love of my life. I mean, you know, your first boyfriend, I mean, I had my whole life planned out. I mean, seriously, he was a year older than me. And he, I mean, I was going to go to the same college as he was. And, you know, he was going to go to medical school, be a doctor. I mean, I had the whole thing mapped out. And I also adored his family. Mm-hmm. I mean, not only did I love spending time with him, but I loved spending time with his family. Yeah. And then when he did dump me, because he was a year older than me, and you know, who wants to date somebody in high school when you have all the cool college co-eds? But we made it into, like, spring the following year, and then we broke up. I was devastated, but there again, I was devastated because it was like, darn it. I mean, I have to break up. Not only do I have to break up with you, but I have to break up with your family. And it's not, and I really felt like gypped. Yeah. I mean, I just really did. It's like, that was part of my social.
Yeah.
My social network was, you know, he had two brothers and a sister, and I loved his mom. His mom was, I just adored her. And I mean, we stayed, you know, somewhat, you know, I mean, air quotes, somewhat friends, but yeah, but that was really, really hard. And that was just as a teenager, you know, introducing, and then I was like very excited. I can remember introducing him to like my mom and dad and, you know, getting the thumbs up because that was always really important. And I can remember too, because I had an older brother and of course he did not give me the thumbs up, but he was just being an older brother. He was just being Mark. And he was always like, oh, you know, and he'd always have to like give some, negative connotation. His name is JR. When you're, I guess if you put it in that perspective, when you're younger or teenager, that's very fun and exciting, or you're in college or just like when the boys brought you home to meet us. Mac was already gone
I never got to meet Mac,
but Kelly, you did. And I'll never forget that because it was a Christmas.
It was Christmas. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you came and you brought Dante. You had a new puppy. So you brought Dante. So we got to meet him as well. Oscar did too.
Yeah.
We
did. I think, you know, in that situation, so both in introducing Alex to my mom and him introducing me to his family, we had already moved in together. We actually moved in together. We started dating in May, and then by the following November, we had moved in together in November. We were just together the summer before we moved in together. So neither of us had met each other's families until after we had already been living together, which I think we probably would have introduced each other to our families even if we didn't live together, but that sure made everything feel like we knew we were going to be in a long-term committed, even if we didn't know we were going to marry each other at that point.
Right.
Like, we still were very confident and positive and excited.
Right.
Yeah. So, so there were no qualms at all about meeting the family, which was great.
Yeah. So, I mean, we just kind of threw you in the deep end because it was Christmas.
It was Christmas.
And we had like our Secret Santa, or we had gifts
Christmas
that year.
Christmas with the Jollies.
Oh my gosh.
A little wild.
It's kind of, it can be a little intimidating, can't it?
It can be, yeah.
We could be kind of intimidating. I do know that. We have a reputation of being intimidating because there are three boys. There's a lot of dynamics still to this day. There's a lot of ribbing. There's a lot of teasing. There's a lot of, shit giving. And if you're not familiar with that, I mean, like Chelsea, you're an only child.
I'm an only child.
I bet that was very,
it
could have been very off-putting. I mean, I always used to say, I used to tease both of you until the very end, until you got married. I'm like, it's not too late to run. You can run like the wind if you want to.
But I loved, I love you guys. And I think y'all's family is something that I always wanted, you know what I mean? Growing up, came from a great family, but, like you said, I was an only child.
So different dynamics.
And, I growing up, we lived in a neighborhood, on a cul-de-sac, and there was a family that we're still friends with to this day. But, we lived there from when I was like 8 until maybe around like 13. And I was always at their house. Mm-hmm. And she had, her name was Miss Paula. Mm-hmm. And she had a daughter named Krista, who was maybe a year or 2 years older than me. And then a son that was a year younger than me. And then another son that was like 2 or 3 years younger. But we were always outside playing. And we just, like, every single night, Paula would call my mom and she'd be like, is it okay if Chelsea stays over for dinner? Mm-hmm. And so, I love that family dynamic, So it was overwhelming meeting you guys for the first time, but not in a bad way.
Well, did you ever go home and say, well, I don't know. I mean, I like Alex, I like Andrew, but I'm not so sure about, did that ever enter the picture? I'm not so sure about that family. I mean, because that does happen. I mean, not all families do you jive with your new in-laws.
Right.
I don't think I ever went home, and I was super intrigued by you because I remember when Andrew told me that he was like, oh, my mom's a fashion blogger. And
I was like, what?
I literally was like, wait, what? And then he like showed me and I was like, oh, that's so interesting because I love fashion and I've always been into that. And obviously I've never did fashion blogging or anything, but I follow, influencers that are close in age to me. And so I was like, oh, that's cool. And then he kind of told me a little bit about your story. And I was super intrigued by it, your entire family, I think too, because he also was like, oh yeah, like we never really lived in one place. Like we grew up all around the world. And that was just completely not how I grew up at all because I literally, was born in Florida, have been in Georgia since I was like 3 years old. And besides me going off to college, have pretty much stayed in Georgia. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, you literally did high school in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. What?
Right.
I know. Everything was very interesting to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think vice versa. I think he was interested in how I grew up because he was like, oh, you lived in one place.
I know. Right. Yes.
Complete opposite. I know.
I've always been wanting that. I wish we had put down a root someplace. Cause that's how I grew up. I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Very uneventful life. Went to school with the same kids from kindergarten all the way until I graduated high school. And then, I went off, I moved one state over. So I had that experience, which was really, really great.
Yeah.
But it was also really, it was an interesting life to move. I don't think that you would, if you had asked the boys back then, if they thought it was a great idea, they would have said no because it's hard. And I can remember, also like laughing and teasing because it's like, I have a girlfriend. And I'm like, oh, don't worry. You'll find another one. There's another one,
one in Guam.
Yeah, I know. They're like, no, but I like, and I can remember. And of course you're heartbroken as a mom because you never want to disappoint your children. Mm-hmm. But so I do know that there are just so many things that you could fill in that, There's pros and cons to everything, but uprooting them made them more flexible. And I think as young men, they would look back and say, That was the right thing. That was the right fit. And they're glad to have that experience. But yes.
Yeah, no, I was super intrigued by you guys. So I don't think that part was very interesting to me. I will say, you can be a little intimidating when
that's the story that I've heard through the years. So I'm not really, because you guys know me and now you really know me, and I laugh because I'm like the least intimidated person, because I'm like, I think I'm like so easy and easy to talk to and all of that. So
it didn't like terrify me too much, only because I have also been told my whole life that mm-hmm. I can come off a certain way or like standoffish. Yeah. So I feel like we're very similar in that sense. And mm-hmm. I think Andrew's very similar to Mac, where he can be very like jovial and yes. charismatic. And mm-hmm. I know that sometimes mm-hmm. I don't come off that way. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I just know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think you do. You can come off that way, but also, I don't know. Maybe it's just like you're tall. I don't know.
I'm tall. That's why I'm standoffish. I don't know. I've gotten that through the years. The boys have definitely told me that. They're like, "Mother, you're so intimidating. We don't want to bring any girls home because you'll scare them away." And I'm like, and I was always like, "What are you talking about? I'm the most hospitable, kindest. What, you know?
You are. What's going on?" I mean, like, once you get to know Beth, like, you're like the nicest, you know, most caring person than ever. Yeah. I mean, did you feel that way when, how did?
No, I don't think I did. And I'll tell you why I think mostly that's true. And I was in a previous relationship years before I met Alex, and the mother of the man that I was dating, she was mm-hmm. really difficult. Mm-hmm. I loved her dearly, and she was the sweetest woman ever, but she was a tough nut to crack. Mm-hmm. And we did get to be friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, ish. But I had this experience for years with this woman that I just wanted her to love me, you know, mm-hmm. and I just wanted her to call me sweetie and, mm-hmm. you know, all these things. And she mm-hmm. was just really tough. So mm-hmm. I had kind of taken that with me and was like, I'm never going to like let myself get bent out of shape over how someone comes across. Like, I just can't, I'm not going to do that again. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I spent so many years like mm-hmm. just trying mm-hmm. too hard.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, because you do have a presence online, I was able to like kind of see what you look like, get a sense for who you are because you write.
Right.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I think that the only intimidating thing that I feel that I think I remember having was just coming all the way across the country.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And being in a totally different place and at Christmas time. Uh-huh. But, you know, I've never, I'm not very sentimental, I guess. So, mm-hmm. you know, in a lot of ways, it was like the perfect time to meet the whole family, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't really remember there being any intimidating feelings, though I can attest to the side of you that can seem intimidating, because I do think that you, especially if someone's seen you online, mm-hmm. there's this, excuse me, sort of, glamorousness, I think, to just seeing mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. But then it's after you kind of talk and you realize how down to earth you mm-hmm. actually are, a lot of that glamour gets, or the intimidation of glamour gets replaced with just like normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think that's mm-hmm. true.
I'm not sure I articulated that very well, but if good. Someone just saw you walk by, you know, I think that there is this,
totally. Like,
who's that? You know, she's so glamorous.
I mean, and I say all of this, I mean, I know I come off the exact same way. I've had people tell me mm-hmm. multiple times where mm-hmm. it's like, I have people that I teach at Pure Bar that tell me, they're like, "Oh my gosh, the first 2 months that you were my instructor, they were like, you scared the crap out of me." Uh-huh. And I was like, oh my God, like, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I really, you know, and I think it's just, you know what? I think it's a confidence thing. Mm-hmm. And I think, I feel like when I'm teaching, it's like, I'm a very confident person and I maybe come across, you know, mm-hmm. as intimidating, but it's like, you don't, you know, but then once you get to know the person, you're like, oh, mm-hmm. okay.
Yeah. Right. And then you see the whole different side.
But yeah, I think that can be a thing when meeting the family.
Yes.
Who was intimidating?
Who?
AJ.
Well, that's a whole other kettle of fish there. I think sometimes he likes that.
No, I love AJ. He's,
well, we all know. I mean, if you want a good heart, if you want a kind person. If you want somebody that, I mean, he's just so much.
Oh yeah,
he's so much like Mac. Mac was that. I mean, Mac would be the first person. If there was a phone call in the middle of the night, that man would have his pants on already. You know, okay, so there's an emergency, and I'm going to be there to save the day. And that's AJ too.
That's AJ was the officiant of our wedding, by the way. Yeah. So,
but he has quite the education pedigree. Mm-hmm. I do think he likes to use that to his advantage sometimes.
When he feels it's going to suit him.
Yeah. Yes, when it suits him. And I'm his mom, so I'll call bullshit when I see bullshit. Yeah. I'm like, come on, bud.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah. I mean, and honestly, I mean, that's a gift. That's a gift. And he's utilized that gift. So, I mean, honestly, that's really great. But
well, I will say, taking it back to introducing people. Mm-hmm. So I will say though that I was a little nervous to introduce him to my family, not because I didn't think that he would like them or that they mm-hmm. wouldn't like him necessarily, but I was a little bit worried about his intimidation factor. Mm-hmm. Like, I was worried. I knew he would be as sweet as pie, mm-hmm. but I was worried about them feeling like, oh my God, this guy is too smart. And now we feel like dum-dums, you know, like I was kind of worried about that because he does kind of have this other level of, of analyzing situations and having conversations that can make someone, you know, be a little bit nervous to respond, maybe.
Which he's like the exact opposite once you like actually.
I know. He's so thoughtful.
Friends with anyone. Like
he will. He
really will. Out and the bartender.
He makes friends with everyone. Yeah. It's totally true.
He's never met a stranger. I truly believe that. But one thing too. So I'll just flip this. So when you were both introduced into my life, I hope I made you feel comfortable and, part of the family from the get-go. And that's what this whole message from mom really, I mean, one of our angles really is, you know, busting that myth. And because so often mothers-in-law don't get along with their daughters-in-law, and maybe it's not as prevalent as it once was, but I just remember my mom and my older brother's wife, Mary, did not get along at all, And it really puts a damper on your family dynamics. And I just remember that. And I was just always determined to never wanted to have that occur in my family because, you know, family means so much to me. And I just always wanted to make a point that to have my daughters-in-law feel loved and welcomed and all of that, because I think that's really important.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be, listen, hello, I never liked 100% of, you know, what Mac was all about. There were definitely some, you know, characteristics. I mean, in my own family, my brother, Mark, my mom and dad, everybody has their flaws. Yeah. So you have to truly just understand that nobody's perfect. So, and I've also learned you can work through any situation if you actually, you know, work on it. But so I hope that you have both felt.
Oh, totally.
And I think so. And because, I mean, because here we are, blah, blah, blind.
I think week too, after week. I actually think it is still pretty prevalent that a lot of women don't get along with their mother-in-laws. Yeah. And I only say that because, like I said, I'm around a lot of women when I teach Peer Bar. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about you or about doing this and, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And I just know some of them will come in and they'll be like, you know, my in-laws are in town and it's like a whole thing and they don't really want them there. And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm like, I can't really imagine it being like that, because I am very grateful that I get along with all of you guys. And I'm also grateful that Andrew gets along with my mom and my stepdad. I mean, we go on trips together and I mean, I think sometimes Andrew, I'm like, do you like my stepdad more than you like me? Because they'll go on their like little golf, escapades.
It's kind of nice because then you and mom can do whatever you want to.
Yeah,
I mean,
we want to. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's super common that, you know, the in-laws get along with one another.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like for the most part, I've been pretty lucky in that department.
Well, now your mom lives close by.
Yeah.
So, which is great. And I mean, I've gotten to get to know your mom too, which is actually fun because it adds another level of our family dynamics is when your mom comes over and she's always invited
about
for
your mom too.
Holidays. I mean, and Kitty too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kitty and Brian.
So we've got this whole extended in-law family thing that happens a few times a year, which is really, really fun.
It's nice.
I do like that. I do. So going back then to when to introduce a significant other, do you think we talked about like young families and things like that. There are certain situations that you have to be very, very sensitive to, but we're all older. So now I'm back dating again. So when would it be appropriate to introduce somebody to your family? I mean, are there any parameters once you kind of hit a certain age, like you're adults and.
I mean, I think, are you talking about kid wise or just like when?
Well, just any which way wise, because I mean, I'm just looking back, like, you know, when AJ was in college and, you know, and he brought his girlfriend home to meet us.
Like, when's the appropriate? Right.
I mean, does it even factor into that? I mean, is there.
I think it just depends. I feel like maybe, because I know, like, you mentioned that you guys, you know, met and then you lived together over the summer and then you introduced in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think me and Andrew we met at the end of May, in 2020. And I mean, our third date was to Asheville, you know, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And then I think the week after that, it was like, he met my mom and my now stepdad, who was not my stepdad at the time, but, and then I guess it must've been a couple weeks after that I met you guys. Mm-hmm. So I think it just really depends on what feels right. And I think it didn't feel forced, you know, like I was excited for him to meet my mom and Ryan. And after taking that trip with him, I was like, okay, I feel like this could be someone that I could actually see myself with. Mm-hmm. And I think he felt the same.
Mm-hmm. So other relationships that you had, like other boyfriends that you had, did you bring them home to meet your mom?
The only other boyfriend that my mom ever met was, I had a boyfriend when I was in my early 20s, and she met him, but like never for like family functions. It was all just like random meetings, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't think I ever. And then there was a boy in between him and Andrew that I was on and off with for a few years, actually. And I never introduced him to my mom or family.
That's interesting.
But I honestly didn't want to, but I think in the back of my head, I was like, this guy's not good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, I know that this is not going to be the person that I ended up with. Mm-hmm. And I also like, I'm just not going to introduce someone to my family if, I mean, why I kept dating him, who knows? Lord knows what I was thinking in my mid-20s. I don't know.
I know.
But I think that's what it comes down to, though, is are you dating someone and you're adults and you both kind of agree that you can see yourselves together long-term?
Mm-hmm.
Then,
I don't think there's one
to the family makes
right
sense.
Or wrong answer to it. I think whatever feels right for both of you guys and especially if everyone's older, you know what I mean?
Like, I know.
I think
because there's no harm, no foul.
Exactly.
When you are older, when you're an adult and you're bringing someone home.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like we know how to, like if my mom, I mean, obviously she's married now but they met only 5 months, maybe before me and Andrew met. And, but had she introduced me to him and I had dinner with him and then a month later she says, oh, we're not talking anymore. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like that's fine.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
Because it really doesn't affect your life.
Mm-mm. Right.
In the way that a small child, it would affect them or grandchildren too. And I do think that, you know, because now that I don't have grandchildren, but, hopefully I will someday, but I mean, I've dated many men that do have grandchildren and I know that that's something that has come up.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't want to drop a person, you know, square into their life. And actually I wouldn't want that either.
I
would want it to be like, we know that this is something on solid ground. And so, so then I can meet your grandchildren.
Yeah.
Now your adult children would be a whole different.
Right.
A whole different ball game, but
totally.
Yeah. So what do you think are some easy ways to introduce your significant other to your family? Do you think there's a better way to do it? I mean, like you brought up the theme park With
yeah, that was a smart
right? That was very smart.
Well, for kids, yeah.
That's a younger, you know, family, blended family, Brady, yeah. But as you said, Brady Bunch type.
I met you guys at Christmas. Mm-hmm. Alex met my family at Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So I seem to be holidays. Interested in the holidays.
Fourth of July, yeah. So uh-huh. That was holiday.
So now, I wonder, though, if part of that doesn't have more to do with convenience.
All the family's going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So do you think it's easier to introduce the significant other all at once, so they meet everybody all at once, or do you think it's one by one?
I think it depends, really, because Alex and I lived in the Bay Area. My mom lived like 4 hours away. You guys were all the way out here. So we weren't, it's not like we could just schedule a quick dinner, you know, on a weeknight or a weekend and mm-hmm. just call it good. Mm-hmm. So for us, like, it was just so much more like convenient to do it that way. And mm-hmm. we had gotten to the point in our relationship while we were living together, but it's like, I don't want to spend the holidays away from you. So,
You
know, because mm-hmm. we could have gone separate. Like mm-hmm. he could have come here if we weren't ready to, you know, make introductions yet. And I could have gone to my mom's house and stuff, but no, we didn't want to spend it apart. And mm-hmm. so it just seemed like the easiest and mm-hmm. obvious thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I do like the idea of, if you are in proximity to your family, introducing someone kind of piecemeal, because mm-hmm. it helps maybe keep them from feeling overwhelmed.
Yes.
For one thing.
Yes.
Yeah, true.
And since we've all agreed that we have somewhat of an intimidating family.
That can be helpful.
I actually have thought about that. I think it would be easier to introduce the boys one by one.
Yeah.
A significant other rather, and then bring them, they can see the whole family dynamics together, because that's a completely different scenario than how everybody is just one-on-one, or like mm-hmm. you and Alex together, you and Andrew together, you know, Christian and Tabitha together. And actually I wanted to bring this up. So we all met Tabitha. So that's Christian's wife, and we met her at the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. I had met her first, but the whole family met her. So yeah. So we seem to think that holidays are the way to go.
Which is hilarious, because we actually all do live close enough together where we could piecemeal it if we
wanted. You know what's funny is that Andrew met my grandparents on like New Year's Day, basically. Mm-hmm. We flew down basically into Tampa, and they live in Lakeland.
Yeah.
On New Year's Eve, and we met them the next day. So
I think so.
But I will say, though, that I do like the one-on-one thing, mm-hmm. especially if it's like, say, a parent introducing their adult children to their new partner or significant other. Because one thing that I think, so the new significant other doesn't get overwhelmed, for one. But I think another really nice thing about that is that if you get together over dinner or lunch or something like that, there's there's more like fate, like one-on-one time, mm-hmm. you know, where mm-hmm. the person, their attention isn't distracted with, you know, mm-hmm. four or five different people, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you can actually like have a conversation that you can get more, more meaningful mm-hmm. connection with them, or you can learn more about them in a way that
I think,
you know,
that's a little bit more. That's a very good point, and very thoughtful point too. And then also too, because I am out dating again. And one of the things that has been, you know, shared with me, cause you all know I had a dating coach, and now we actually do a dating series over on Instagram, and Trevor. And I think this is actually really good advice, because I think it's very important to introduce your significant other to your family sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons is it's really good to have your family's input mm-hmm. on that person's character.
Yeah, that's a smart
because
point.
The accountability. And, and so I dated this, and I'll just bring this up. So I dated this one gentleman, and his son actually put him on a dating app because he had been he had a very toxic relationship with someone, and his son saw that mm-hmm. and the gentleman didn't necessarily see that himself.
Yeah.
But to have, and I for sure, I mean, my children's opinion matters very much to me. So in my estimation, I think it's probably good And I think that Trevor's advice is really good because sooner rather than later. And also too, because you don't want somebody to be like hiding you off in a corner. So that's a whole nother topic, but we can briefly touch on it because why wouldn't they want to be introducing you to their friends and family?
Right.
I mean, I agree with that too. And I think even like I mentioned, you know, the boyfriend that I had in between the first one that she met and then Andrew, I think, had I maybe introduced him earlier to my mom probably would have been like, Chelsea, what are you doing?
This
guy is a complete tool, you know?
Yeah.
Which I don't necessarily know if I was ready for someone to say that to me because I think I knew that, but I think that introduction maybe would have sped up us not seeing each other anymore, you know?
Right. Yes.
It would have sped up the process, which it would have been good.
I think so. Yes. And so when it is just down to introducing your significant other, that is a very important step. It's not to be taken lightly. But also, if someone is not introducing you to their family, that's a big red flag.
Yeah.
And I think that many people should stop and think about that.
Yeah.
Or they have met the family members and there's maybe some negative feedback. And I think you have to be open to that too. I mean, of course, it's always your own life.
Yeah.
And you're always going to, you know, to make that decision based on what's best for you. But your family does, and your friends can see things that you don't, because, you know, sometimes love is blind.
Yeah.
That's and,
so true.
I think too, well, I don't know. I do agree with you, but I do think that there are, like, I've heard like horror stories from my friends and I don't know who to believe on these, but it's like, you know, you get the one mother-in-law that maybe they do have a son and it's like this son is their just
their pride and joy, all
be all. And I think sometimes from what I've heard is that those moms can definitely be very difficult to please. And also just, you know, but then it's like, how do you navigate that once you introduce? It's like, is it actually a problem with the person or is it a problem with the mom?
And that's And I do think that that's a very fine line that you have to walk. And why witnessing my mom not getting along with my brother's wife was a big lesson for me because it was like, I will never do that. And I have had my children come along and ask me in the past if somebody, you know, what I thought of somebody. And honestly, there's one girl that AJ dated, absolutely loved her. She's a great girl. They just weren't great together.
Yeah.
And I was honest about that. I'm like, listen, you have all these great qualities. She has all these great qualities, but when you two are together, you're not bringing out the best in each other.
Yeah.
So I was honest in that regard, but I do know that Jamie always, or I hope she did always, you'd have to go home and ask Alex. You know, maybe I was being too intimidated, but we all loved her.
I don't think
everybody,
so. They were together a long time. I think if she felt any weird ways about you, she wouldn't have been around.
We all loved her, but boy, do those two fight like all the time. And so, so that was like, okay, maybe you want to take a look at it. And then they ended up not, you know, not staying together.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I could see that. I was an outside person. I could see that, but still hope that I was still being very welcoming.
Yeah.
Because she was a great girl.
Yeah.
I mean, fun. She was fun, smart. I mean, and she had a lot of fun, you know, thrown into the Jalali plan too. So, but yes, but going back to, and I think that advice from Trevor, my dating coach, is very important. So people, if you are out there dating and you are thinking of bringing it to the next level, I do think that it's important to introduce your friends and family sooner rather than later. I really do.
I definitely agree with that. And I think we've all kind of done that, or at least we have anyway.
We've mix the whole clan together.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And now, so now not only do we have extended family, but extended family.
Right.
And it's fun. Right. And that's what I mean, I hope, you know, someday that I'll have a significant other too, that I'll be able to blend into his family and he can blend into mine. That's my hope.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, just as a real quick aside, like, do you personally have nervous feelings about that whole process, meeting a significant other's family, because with adult children, it can mm-hmm. be so, because what if their relationship with their adult children is weird or right? strained or something, and then here you are meeting them, and
right.
so maybe their relationship wouldn't be as close as, say, all of ours are mm-hmm. or whatever, but like, mm-hmm. does that feel like...
It's like the reverse of the intimidation of meeting of,
yeah,
in-laws.
Yeah, so like, do you feel like at the point in your life where you've been there, done that, had a family, seen mm-hmm. a lot of things, mm-hmm. is that an aspect to dating again that you kind of feel like, oh gosh, I'm nervous about this, or
I would be a little nervous yeah. because I would definitely want them to like me. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I would, because there again, I would want the, you know, the commingling of families to be very organic and very mm-hmm. natural. And I would, right. because you all know how I feel about family. And so I would want to be bringing, not all the time, because I know that that would be very challenging, you know, holidays and things like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe we wouldn't be able to, you know, spend holidays together, but I would want like a barbecue. I would want I would welcome these opportunities to have their family. I mean, my significant other, children, grandchildren, whatever, mm-hmm. to feel really comfortable around me right. and vice versa. And, you know, so yeah. I would want to bring that aspect of joy to their life rather than, oh my God, you know,
yeah.
does Beth really have to take a look? You know, I would never want to be that person, I guess, you know? Well, so there's always there would be that nervousness. I've never gotten to that point
not yet,
but
so
hopefully.
Here's another question mm-hmm. that I have. And, how difficult and challenging has it been for you personally to consider introducing someone to your sons when you are a widow? Mm-hmm. Cause I think, mm-hmm. Heartbreak is heartbreak, mm-hmm. but I think losing a spouse, and being a widow or a widower is a little bit of a different story than divorce. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. As a widow, like, has it been like a really, difficult thing for you to even imagine like introducing the boys to someone that you're dating? And mm-hmm. cause I'm sure a lot of other women and men too have a difficult task ahead of them when it comes to mm-hmm. introducing to their kids to the idea of them dating mm-hmm. again.
Right.
And then actually meeting a person.
Yes. Right. Yes. Because, I've had to go through all those dynamics with the boys because we were a very special family unit mm-hmm. our whole lives. And they knew that Mac and I've said this many times, we had a great marriage, not a perfect marriage, but we had a great marriage. Mm-hmm. And Mac was a very dynamic, charismatic. I mean, he would go out, everybody, mm-hmm. boy, that man just knew how to make an impression. And he was just such a wonderful dad to look up to. So I do know that no matter how old they are, because AJ is 39, I have 39, 35, and 32 now. And yes, they're adults, they're grown men, but I think they're still kind of a, mm-hmm. there'll be an aspect of, gosh, that's not dad. You know, why is mm-hmm. she going out with this guy? Because he's not like dad at all, which goes to the point, nobody will ever be like,
yeah,
you know, nobody will ever be like Mac. I'm not looking for Mac. I mean, I'm just looking for someone for who yeah. they are. But yes, but that has definitely crossed my mind that, yeah. okay, gosh, you know, how, you know, because I, as I said, I want my children to like my significant other and I want their family to like me because I think, and we've proven that it's so great when you get along
mm-hmm. yeah.
with your family. And so, yes, so there, I do have that, a little bit of nervousness too.
Yeah.
Like, gosh, what, you know, what are the boys really going to think?
Yeah.
You know, what are they really?
I mean, I would even
tell me,
venture
tell
to, I, oh, for yeah, sure.
For sure they would.
But I would even venture to say that aspect of dating, you know, where you are now, mm-hmm. Has almost probably got to be harder than actually dating itself, I would think.
Bringing him home.
Yeah. Or mm-hmm. just, you know, kind of dealing with the feelings of, mm-hmm. you know,
I know,
of your children, that even though they're yeah. adults and obviously you're not going to let them, you know, steamroll you into not right. dating again or whatever. But right. at the same time, right. like you said, their opinions are important.
Very important.
It's a, yeah. you know, they're also a gut check
yes. Yes.
opportunity there.
Yes.
But yeah, I do think that, you know, that's got to mm-hmm. be It's going to be a tough, and you got to overcome that to keep your motivation to continue.
Yes. And I think that that's a whole, and that could be a whole nother topic, but just the dynamics of dating at 65 when you have an established life and you have established families. So what does that look like?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you commingle things? I mean, and right. I've shared this also many times too. I'm not going to get married again. I mean, I'm not going to go.
You say
I know. I'll have a long term. I'll have a long term relationship. Listen, I'm.
My mom said the same thing.
I want a long term relationship. I just think it for me at this point, and I think probably for most men that I date, just the prenups and just the whole legalities of it.
Mm-hmm. You just want a partner.
I want a partner, and so if I have a long term partner, and I've teased about this over my dating series. I mean, And close your eyes, boys. I mean, I'll totally shack up with somebody. And I say that, you know, tongue in cheek, because I want to blend into their family, their life. I want them to blend in mine, but I'll still have somewhat of an independent life too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So how does that work? How does that, what does that look like? Because yes, there may be the men that really do want to get married again, you know, and think about, oh, I want to take care of her, or we need to make this legal, or, I mean, I'm not exactly sure what it is, but yes. Yeah, so I've thought about that, but that's one of the things I make very clear from the get go when I'm dating somebody. It's like, listen, I'm not looking to get married again, but I am looking for a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
I am looking to spend the rest of my life with somebody. So So whatever that looks like, yeah, Chelsea,
that means.
Chelsea's looking at me like, oh, maybe I will get married.
I've heard
again.
This story before.
Yeah. She's heard it before. I mean, I'll never say never because, but there again, it's important to me because family is important to me. So I want that person to love my family, to love you, the girls, the daughters-in-law, and then, you know, and the boys and yes.
Sure.
And if they're grandchildren. Yeah. And that's tricky. And I have to tell you that is tricky and why maybe dating at this age can be a little bit more challenging is because of that.
Yeah. I would say so for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. Wow. So any other things we want to discuss today about introducing a significant other to the family?
No, I think we covered it really well.
I think
we did. Okay. Yeah. All right, ladies. Well, that concludes another episode of Message from Mom, where we are busting the myth that mothers-in-law don't get along with their daughters-in-law.